Thank you, Anna. She's in the back. Many of you had an opportunity to connect with her last night. If you haven't, please stop by and see her today. Both of them will be available after the service. They'll be, Anna, if you'd come up here after the service, that'd be great. And then Mark, if you just, usually one of us will just take a stool there, and I know people want to talk to you and share more. But anyway, they've been having an opportunity to do things with orphans and with kids in foster care, which is something our church started about 5 or 6 years ago. We just had a heart for that, and God wove our ministries together. And we had an opportunity to send some people over there. So there's the House of Hope, I'm sure you've heard about, an orphanage over there. Foster care program that Mark has shared with us in the past that God put on his heart. And then also, how many of us here, and I'm confessing here, frugality, okay? This is not a God, God is honored with royalty and frugality. How many of us like thrift stores, okay? Shop at thrift stores once in a while, okay? So that's part of Mark's ministry as well. So as you visit different places, there's ways that God will remind you to pray for them. So I just want to do that now, and then Mark's going to share from the Word. Dear God, we thank you for Mark and just the gifts that you've given him and the vision you've given him to see things before they come into reality, whether that would be a thrift store, whether that would be an orphanage, whether that be a foster care program. Lord, I also thank you for the discipline and desire you've given him to see those things come to reality and allow us and other people all throughout the globe to partner in that. Lord, we pray this morning, Lord, that you will share from Mark's heart and from your word things that would encourage and equip us to better live for you. And Lord, we pray that we can encourage Mark in the same way. In your name, amen.
Well, thank you so much. I would like to read a portion of scripture which is well known to you. It's written in the book of James, NIV. It's James 1:27. So it's the book of James 1:27. Religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this: to look after orphans and widows in their distress and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world. Well, I believe that everybody wants to leave a legacy in life. And I believe that people who do not want to leave any legacy, these are the people who don't really live. And I believe that everybody who would be on his deathbed would want to say about himself, I lived a worthy life. I lived a life that actually brought a sense of self-satisfaction. And you know, there are many ways when you can accomplish this goal. One of the goals can be to topple a corrupt government. Actually, it could be my assignment. I was thinking about it, and we're having a team that is coming over in October. Wow, it's an idea. Instead of doing an orphanage project, what about overthrowing one of our governments? Instead of making it pro-Russian, we'll make it pro-American. It's a good cause to live for. Well, it could be another reason, It can be maybe just write a book, that will touch hearts of many people. Or it can be to plant a church. So there are many, many ways when you can live a worthy life. I've personally chosen the life as to help the children. In particular, help the children that need help. Thus, help the children. I would like to list a few reasons why I've decided to go down this path, what actually prompted me to get involved into this ministry. And the first reason, probably most obvious to all of us, is that the children need help. As simple as that, children need help. We have a boy in our program whose name is Alexander Lukyanov. I'm not sure if anybody supports this boy who stays in the program of Help the Children. But I know there is a couple that help him from the Calvary Church. This boy was, so to speak, adopted or put into foster family about 3 years ago. And as it turned out, Alexander had 3 siblings. They were, at a later stage, taken into foster care by another couple. A woman was from Tiraspol, this is the area where I come from, and the guy was from Moldova proper. Well, this couple turned out to be an atrocious couple. The whole intention for them to take the children into their care was to smuggle drugs. They were flying to Thailand, they were buying packs of heroin, they were making children swallow them. Then they would fly them back to Russia, they would beat them up, and make them throw the pegs up, and then they would sell them. These two boys, two little brothers of Alexander, couldn't make it. They died because of this harsh treatment. And the girl, his sister, barely survived. And when you think about the story and about the impact that we can have on the life of a child, you see, it's worthy. It demonstrates you how helpless your children are, how vulnerable they are, and how much help they need from us, the adults. I was telling you about a girl, and you probably know a lot about her, by the name of Tanya Yeremeyeva, who lived as a child, and she basically was a homeless child. But what is strange to me is that Tanya has got, and she still has, a living mother. And the mother is still around, and the mother does not live somewhere far away. She lives basically in a next door village. And what is astounding about all this situation is that the mother knew there was a child who was dying, and she kind of did nothing as to rescue the child from that dangerous situation in which child was. And to me, it's really strange. You have a father and mother. You know, I just saw some of the pictures you were putting on display. You have a mother and you have a child. The bond is the strongest bond in the world. You cannot think of anything stronger than a father, than a mother and the child. But somehow, in the case of Tanya Yeremeyeva, as in many cases of the children living with abusive parents, alcohol can destroy it. Alcohol can wipe this bond out. And it speaks volume to us that the children are very defenseless. They are at a blind chance. Back in Transnistria, we have saunas. I'm not quite sure if you have saunas over here, but they are very popular. It's a manly thing. Men tend to go to saunas, and they spend hours sitting there, sweating out, and then jumping into icy waters of the swimming pool. But sauna isn't much of a fun if you don't have alcohol and you don't have girls. You can get alcohol by going to a next door shop, and the girls can be easily arranged. And one of the places where you get girls from will be an orphanage. Simply go, you talk the deal to the supervisor, or you talk to the girls themselves, and they come at the appointed time. And so when you think about how poorly the girls are morally equipped, you understand that they need protection. And the list actually can go, you know, like pages after pages, describing the need of the children living in places like Ukraine, Swaziland, Transnistria, the children that need our help. I was telling to you that children, in general, the orphan children, are not very much appreciated by the people who live next door to them, the people who live in their community. They're not even appreciated by the people who should appreciate them. We have to work as an agency with the government. And there is a lady who is the head of the children's department office. She's the one who would give you a permission for a child to go into your family. Her name is Mrs. Karimova. And if you are, as a couple, want to have a child into your foster family, you have to get her blessing. So you as a couple go to her and you say, we are such and such, and we know such and child who lives in such and such orphanage, and we would like to take the child into our family. And she would ask you, what's wrong with you? Cannot you have your own children? Why would you want these children to go into your family? We had couples who would come back to us kind of dashed to pieces, devastated with the attitude a government official would demonstrate to these couples. It was her job to talk them into taking the children into the family, But instead, she would say, you know, the children you want to take, so the children who would be a threat to you, you better do not mess with them. And you know, it was like an hour job, so to speak, to calm them down and say, you know, it's a part of our Soviet heritage. It's a bureaucracy. You have to, you know, be resolute. You have to go back and talk to them and say that, yes, we want to have the child into our family. But what is interesting about this Mrs. Karimova statement is that it is true. When you look into the root of the problem, you will see that a lot of things she has to say about the children is a true statement. Because the children, who she would describe as, you know, dirty, with no manners, children that can be a threat to a family, a lot holds the truth about it. Because the children, they really need a lot of calming, and they require a lot of work as to make them into normal and manageable children that would join your family. It requires that. And when you look at the children, you understand that they are socially sick. They are socially out of place. And it is a work of a parent to put them in place. It is we who should do something about them. And actually, it requires a lot of attention. It requires a lot of effort. And at times, you might ask a question. I can ask this question. Anna can ask this question. Or anybody who is doing the child-related work can raise this question. Why should we do this work? And really, you can find a number of excuses as not to be get involved. The children, they're really not children. You're not responsible for them. You can say that many of these children have fathers and mothers. Let the fathers and mothers look after the children. Well, if they don't look after them, let them go into the state institutions, and the orphanages can take good care of them. If the orphanages don't take a good care of them, then, well, it's just tough luck. You know, things happen. And what do we have to do with that? But every time I found it in my sort of own case, in my own life, that if there is a need and you come across it and you do nothing about it, you simply walk away justifying yourself, that something starts to miss in your life. Something very essential, something that is very important, something is what life is about, is not quite there. Somebody gave a definition of ego. Ego is when your age got out. And when your age got out of your life, you inevitably age your neighbor out. What are you left with then? You're left with very little. You're left with nothing. You're left with void. It cannot be filled up. You know, we have people who spend their money on drugs, on buying friendship, but feel a little bit unsatisfied. They feel kind of confused. And it's simply because the void is not filled. The void where there is a place for your neighbor is not filled by it. I had a lot of wonderful testimonies by people who were coming from foreign missions. And they were saying, and really it was sort of an eye-opener to me. People who were wealthy, respected in the community, who made a good living, a wonderful career, they would say, our life changed. And if we would ask them, how did it change? They said, we went on a mission trip. We did a winter drive boot. We were working with orphans. We were putting the shoes on the orphans' feet. And when you sort of talk to them, you see there's like a sense of radiance in their eyes. They see that something very important happens to them. And this is really what this life is about. It's about sharing your life with people like yourself. people who live maybe next door to you, people you come across with, and people who just need your attention and a little bit of your help. Really, this is the message I wanted to leave you with, that you can make a good living, but you might not live the way you should live. So may God bless you as you strive to minister to Him. Because ultimately, it's not about what career we'll make, what clothes we wear. It's about what would be our last words. Would there be a sense of self-satisfaction before we go to the great beyond? God bless you.